Quick.
Amen.
I go sit in the back row.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody asked me one time, why do you get people to laugh before services? You know the reason why? 90% of the people who come through the door in churches have been hurt during the week or something.
Yeah.
And we can get them
to...
Can I get a closer to me?
Hello?
Let's see, what is it?
Hello?
You know, that's the wrong one. But yeah. See, I can get you a smile, right? Here again, I appreciate you folks. I had it wrong like that some way because I'm worried about having my face. God is good to us.
Amen.
God is very good to us. He's been good to me over the years. And, what, 52 years now, Pat? We've been preaching? Oh, yeah, I couldn't see you. You're hiding again on me. Amen. She can hide in small places. How about that? Amen. There was a question asked me not very long ago. Why churches, why don't they grow as they did in the 1950s through the 1970s? And I wrote some things down here. A lot of different things. When I was a young boy, up into the 50s, they had blue laws. Stores were closed during Sunday. Amen? We worked long hours on the farms. I mean long hours. Today we are a little bit different. Today we let someone else take care of our children instead of we taking care of them themselves. My wife and I have 8 children, 4 boys and 4 girls. One of them adopted, amen, praise the Lord, but he doesn't know the difference. He still thinks he's my son. Amen. Somebody said, well, you cannot adopt somebody without them taking the traits of their parents before them. Well, this gentleman acts just like me. Amen. Amen. Okay, now you got it. Okay, you got your laughing. Amen. I am his father. I'm his father image. And I spend a lot of time with him. Still do when I can. Half of our people don't raise their own children anymore. My wife was home with my children all the time. I worked a lot, or sometimes worked 2 jobs, plus the ministry, so that she could be there with the children. And when I was home, I spent as much time with the children as I could. Today, we're too busy to come to church. Many people today work on Sundays and weekends. On the farms we had to work, amen, I'm picking on you a little bit. Not really, amen, but I got a smile out of you. But the idea is today we do, amen. Years ago we didn't do a lot of those Sunday work. Factories would let you out, they closed down. Sometimes we have more wants than we have needs. That's the reason why we work extras. Amen? Think about that. Just think. I'm just giving you things to think of. There's also a lack of dedication. There is a lack of dedication today with people. I wonder if we understand what revival is, to revive somebody. I learned that as a young person working in the construction trades, and I had to go through courses to learn how to revive somebody. And of course, nobody wants me as big as I am jumping up and down in your chest. But at the same time, you know, we now get you smiling. Okay, I'll get you in our gear here in just a few minutes. But the idea is people don't understand what revival means. To revive means to bring somebody back from something. Right? Now, if you're, you really can't have a revival unless Christians start getting right with God. That's the problem. We get those things mixed up. I don't know about you. Every time I come to a meeting like this, I get revived myself. Amen? I get pumped up myself about wanting to do things. My wife sings that song that she sings, and as I told you folks this morning, I'm a chaplain for a veterans home in Oxford, New York, with 240-some people there. Bigger churches than a lot of people are pastoring today. And you know what's amazing with that? The song my wife just sung down there, they think that's their theme song for the services. And they chose that. They chose that because they liked it so well. You know, we need some Christian things that we like so well that we use and share with them over and over again. I liked it because God so loved the world and He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I like that verse, don't you?
Yeah.
Do you use it?
Yeah.
Amen. Over and over and over again. Many times people don't settle in one church today. They go from church to church. They're looking for something and they don't realize it's not the pastor, it's not the church, it's them. Amen?
Amen.
It's really them because they as individuals haven't got right with God.
Amen?
I want to be right with God. Now let me ask you a question. You folks are married. Are you right with your wife? Are you right with your husband? Amen? Think about that for just a minute. That is the same thing. Amen? You better be right. I don't dare be upset with my wife and be down on her. She beats me up. Amen? I'm trying to get you a smile. I'm getting you a smile. I'm getting you broken down so you understand. Amen. Often also we got pastors that don't stay in one church. They go from place to place, from place to place. Somebody asked me one time, how come you're still in the area that you're in? There's still lost people there. And sometimes the churches in the area, even some of them that I started in that area, aren't doing the job anymore. They stopped doing it. By the way, I helped start 13 churches. And I've actually pastored. And I've had a lot of fun doing that. I'm not a good preacher, by the way. I just like people. I don't know what a good preacher is. Amen? But I love sharing God's Word. I love people. And I love talking with them about Jesus Christ. And I like it when the love of God flows through me. And it allows to go out to others like a big flood. Sometimes churches run pastors down and wear them out because they'll get after and they won't like him so bad much that they just start little things going on in churches. We don't like what he does this. We don't like how he preaches. We don't like, amen, don't like his wife, how she sings. Amen. We don't like because he has to, he oversees everything. You know why preachers have to oversee everything? Because we got people in the church who won't take some of the load off from them.
Yeah.
Stop and think about that for you. We'll say, well, the pastor has all that time. Yes, we have a lot of time. But you want the top notch on them services, you just don't pick up a Bible and do a message. You have to think about it and pray about it a lot. our children do not realize what's important anymore today. Our children do not realize what's important because of the parents' example. We don't teach against the same things that we used to teach about. People don't talk about alcohol, and they don't talk about sin. They don't talk about smoking anymore like we used to. By the way, I still talk about those things. Hang around. I'll talk a little bit about you tonight. Share with you something. We don't read our Bible at home, and we don't pray with the family. There's a lack of dedication. There's also a lack of respect. We teach on evolution all over the place, but we don't teach on creation. All of our schools all over America, it's that way. Think about it just for a few minutes. Without any Bible basis and any Bible base, our country is going to continue to keep sliding downhill the way it is. It's not going to change. Somebody says, what's revival? Amen. Maybe we need to get down, jump up and down a few people. Maybe preachers got to quit. Shouldn't say this. Quit pacifying their people that are in their church. Amen. Think about that. I'll tell you what, I'm not a good pacifier. Never did like the things. My children never liked it. I had one of the daughters used to throw them out the car window. I don't blame her. I don't like those either. Pacify means to give something to a child that has no nourishment. That's what a pacifier does. Did you know that? We need nourishment. The Christian needs nourishment. We as individuals need to get up. I'm not a great preacher. You've got a great preacher back there. I just went around longer. Amen. But I've learned to cease smiling. You know, like I said this morning, one of the songs I like to sing is, and give your face a rest, amen. Point your hand to the one who loved the best, amen. Who do you love, amen? Think about that for just a minute. Then shake hands with those about the room and smile. Now, you know what we used to do? I used to do in churches. They used to have a husband and wife day every once in a while. I've done that in years. But I'd talk about them, and I'd talk about love and what love really is. And I'd say to all the fellows that were married, and all the ladies were married in the church, I said, now, show this congregation that you love your wife and your husband. I'd say, no. Hold hands. Stand up and look at your wife, look at your husband and say, I love you. Did you know what? There's some people have a terrible time saying that. Did you know that? Bud, you would try that sometime, brother. I've forgotten what that word means. Amen. But we do that today. Revival has to start with the Christian. Amen?
Amen.
Revival's Christian. We'll never have great crusades in America until revival takes place in our churches and in the hearts of our people that are in the churches. We need to get it back the way it was. That's not my message today. I knew actually one of those people that my wife and me said, if we go back to the book of Exodus and we get in there, we think about things, there's something that we have also we don't have, I should say. But if we get into our Bible and get into the book of Genesis, excuse me, into Exodus, but Genesis, if we get ourselves over to the 13th chapter, amen? Would you pray with me? Precious God and Heavenly Father, I thank you for the privilege you give me. Lord, give me the things that I ought to say, and help me to lay aside the things that I ought not to say. Bless, dear Father, those who are here. Speak to their hearts, dear Father, through your Spirit. And help us, dear Father, to grow as Christians. And, dear Father, continue to mature as Christians. That, dear Father, we might be ones who glorify you in each area of our lives, we pray. We ask this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. In the 13th chapter, amen, she needs that turned up. She says she can't hear. Hello. Hello. Amen. I'll get it too high. If I let loose in here, then we'll blow you out of your seats. But wait. In the 13th chapter, I'm on the band business, okay? Maybe if I speak loud enough, there'll be enough wind around here to take care of that. Amen. No, okay, just fine. In chapter 13 of the book of Genesis, Abraham and Lot are returning from Egypt. They part here, and Lot goes towards Sodom. And God promises is renewed in Abraham. He gives him a very special problem. He's going to use him, and he's going to use him as a family. He goes to Abraham, who Hebrew, and there he builds an altar. And Lot also met with Abraham. He had flocks, he had herds, he had tents, and he had people with him as Abraham. And the land, in verse 6, says the land wasn't able to bear them both, and that they might dwell in the same area. For their substance was great, so they couldn't dwell together. And there was strife between the herdmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt in that land. And Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, let there be no fighting, he's saying, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brother. Is not the whole land before us? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou take the left hand, then I will go to the right. If thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes, and behold, all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, was, thou comest and deserve. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from the other. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And Lot, the Lord said unto Abraham, after Lot was separated from him, lift up now mine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, and westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I'll make thy seed as the dust of the ground, so that if a man can number the seed of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land, in the length of it, in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto you. And Abraham removed map reader trained himself. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. And as we think about those things, it was a battle that took place. Also, there was a separation. And Lot went his own way. Lot wanted the group the best. He was greedy. Amen? Greedy, greedy. I know some preachers, they want big, big, big churches. That's great. That's for them, not for me. I just like normal church. Whoever your God put gives me. Amen to the pastor too. I like that. I like the one that God uses. Now, if time goes on and there's a place where they're separated completely, and God encouraged Abraham in chapter 15, promised him a son and many, many children. He's verse 6, he's justified by faith, as it says, and he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of the land of Ur of the Chaldees, to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, hereby shall I know that I shall inherit it. And he said unto him, take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all of these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon him, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him, and he said unto Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and they shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years, and also the nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out of the great with great substance, and thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in an old age. I'm not going to go through all of this, but in verse 18 it says, in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed have I driven this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates, the Canaanites, and the Kenizzites, and the Kadmonites, and all the heights. Okay? We'll put them together that easy. Sarah, his wife, was barren. Didn't have any children. He didn't do what was right there. She didn't do what was right. But you know what's an amazing thing? God has promised him something. God keeps his promise. Did you hear what I said? God keeps his promise. We need to get down where God has given us a promise. If we would go, amen, into the world and preach the gospel to every living creature, amen, every man, amen, that God would bless us. And yes, we don't seem to realize that goal. You know, my boys, I've raised four of them, and every once in a while with my boys, they would not want to do what they're supposed to do. You understand what I'm saying? Now, your boys, your children are not perfect, I know that. But you know what you do to them? You either take away privileges from them, amen, or if they're real tough, there's a special place on the body, amen, specially padded, the pad, amen. He said, well, the government won't let me do that.
Yes, I know.
That's what they say. But you know what? I never stopped correcting my children. Amen?
No.
I never was mean to them, but I never stopped correcting them. And when my children said something to me, my adopted son especially said something to me one day, so I'll turn you into the welfare. I said, go ahead. Amen? I said, you don't realize that's not fun either. That you're going to be thrown into a family that don't love you, don't care, take care of you. They're not going to see what you need, help you get into college, help you through school. I said, you're cutting yourself off if you want to do that. I said, that's all right with me. You can do it if you want. He changed his mind. He comes in the house now, all grown up, stands about 2 inches taller than I am, throws his arm around me and gives me a good, gives me a big hug. I give him a big hug back, pick him up off the floor while I'm hugging him. What am I saying? What does God say? Do we actually read the Bible and know what he says? Amen? He blesses. We need to get into things that should be done. No. What takes place now here? As we go on, and I won't get into all the details because I want to get over here especially. I want to cover this tonight. We know which way Lot went. And he got himself in a lot of trouble. He went the way he wasn't supposed to go. You know, sometimes you need to correct your children just to save them. My children were taught, if I said stop, to stop. Now, why were they taught that way? Do you realize your children can walk across the road and there might be a car coming? My children said when I said stop, stop. Amen? Look and see what's coming. Don't run. We have a bunch of people that like to run away. That's what Christians do. We like to run away. If there's any problems at all, we like to run away. If there's anything that doesn't go quite our way, we don't listen to what the preachers say. We'll run away someplace and hide and go someplace else. Here is a man that got himself in terrible trouble. Now we know that Abraham understood the Bible, understood the Word of God. But do you know that here Lot didn't do anything biblically at all? Somebody asked me, what kind of message would this be? We're in a world right now, and America is becoming a country without the Bible anymore.
Right.
Without people learning the Word of God, and half of those who are supposed to be giving us the Word of God are giving us some other book that I'm unfamiliar with. Amen? And I always ask those people when they show me, well, I use this Bible. I said, who's the authors of that? And they'll start looking for names. Did you know all these new Bibles? We don't even know who came and wrote them. You think about that. I want to know who's given me God's Word. Amen?
Amen.
That's the reason why I stick with the old King James.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to give you something here I just learned. How much time I got, dude? Till tomorrow morning? What'd you say, really?
It's still dark.
Still dark, okay. What's it get dark around here at 10 o'clock?
Yeah.
But we what? And I have fun, like I said. And you do that, there's a reason why I do that. Because I can say things, if I get you laughing once more, I can say things I couldn't say in any other way. And Sodom didn't have any Bible. Now, let me say something to you. Do you realize that in your life, probably with a lot of the people, the only Bible they're going to see is you. You are the Bible. You need to quote Scripture. You need to quote Scriptures and learn Scriptures about salvation. We need to quote Scriptures about creation. We need to know quote Scriptures. Everybody today is saying, well, the world's coming to an end. Well, of course it is. Has been for a long time. Read Matthew 24, it'll straighten you out. Because you read chapter 24 and you say, well, no, it's all horrible there. Read the last verse. But the time is not yet. Amen? They keep doing that on us, don't they, brother? I've been doing it all my life just about. It's not yet. Amen? It's not yet. You know what that means? Amen? Amen? Do you know how to say amen?
Amen.
You know what amen means? It means sick of. Amen. Yeah. Amen. That should do you that all right. But here, Abraham knew what the Bible meant. He knew what the Word of God meant. He talked with God. He spent time with God. God spent time with him. He had a child because of that. He prayed for his nephew. There's no place in the Bible where it says his nephew wasn't prayed for him. Nothing there. Never even says it is in the Bible that he prayed at all. You know what's amazing here? The angel stopped to see Abraham and told him what they were going to do. They were headed for Sodom to destroy it. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? Abraham prayed for him. God answered his prayer and gave him some more time. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Praying righteous means to pray from the heart, believing that God is going to handle things. Those angels that spoke with Abraham, those angels went a little further and went up to Sodom. Even they were trying to help and save Lot. Lot entertained in verse 9, chapter 19 says, and there came two angels to Sodom at the evening they had been with Abraham before this. And the Lot at the at evening, and Lot sat at the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold, thou, my lords, turn in, I pray thee, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go your ways. And they said, nay, which means no. Amen? But we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly. And they turned in unto him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast. He did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city came. City, even to the men of Sodom, and passed the house round, and both old and young, all the people from every quarter. Now, I wouldn't do this service with a bunch of children. We're going to get into some things that's pretty hard here going on in just a few minutes. But it's time that you and I woke up. Amen?
Amen.
Time of miracle was woke up and the preachers quit being backing off on things. We need to speak out on things. It's amazing to me. Lot says in the second verse, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray, into your servant's house and tarry all night and wash your feet, and for you'll rise up early and you may go your ways. And they said, nay, but we'll fight at the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned into the house, him, and entered into his house. And he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and he did eat things before they lay down. The men in the city came to Sodom and passed the house around, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said, "Where are the men that came in unto thee this night? Bring them out unto this, us, that we may know them." And Lot went out of the door and said unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, "I pray thee, brother, do not so wickedly." Now, if you're adult, you can read these things. Amen. You understand what's taking place at this time. He shut the door behind him and said, "I pray thee, brother." Now notice he's calling them brethren. Isn't that strange? That's not right. Amen. They're not like this man was supposed to be. He said, "I pray thee, brother, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known a man. Let me, I pray thee, bring them out to you. And do ye to them as good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof." People don't preach about things just like this anymore. We need to get back there. And they said, "Stand up." And they said again, "This one fellow came in to sojourn with us, to stay with us, and live with us. And he all needs to be a judge over us now," until I'm putting some other words in there to help it. "Now will we deal worse with thee than with them?" And they pressed sore upon that the man, and even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. That's the angels. And by the way, angels help keep us. Amen. You know the Bible says we attend angels unaware. We'd be in a lot of trouble if it wasn't for the angels, amen. Be very careful. Don't worry about the demons. Amen. Things like that, because that's a whole different story, and I won't get into that maybe later on through the services, not tonight for sure. But here he is. He's offering his daughters up to these men outside. "I have two daughters. Do what you would to them." That's not a very good father, is it? I don't know about you, I still protect my daughters right now when they're grown up. The boy, and I've told their husband, is that you better not touch them in a mean way and slap them around. You better not, because I'm coming to your house with my four sons, and you'll push your head. You say, "You're mean." No, I love my daughters. Amen. By the way, we don't have any son-in-laws touch my daughters. Amen. As far as being mean or anything, they better not. Amen. I guess some son-in-laws are pretty good boys too, stand up over 6 foot tall. Now someone said, "Why do you say that way?" Get back to where we belong. These ladies who are here in this room are special ladies.
Amen.
God loves you and God cares for you, and even we as gentlemen here, I hope you are, ought to open doors for them, amen?
Yeah.
Ought to say yes, ma'am, to them. Thank you, ma'am. And treat them like the ladies they are. They're special, amen?
Yeah.
What would we do without the ladies, amen?
Yeah.
We'd be in trouble. Let's get back to what we were. They're treasured. Here he goes. "But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house," that's the angels, "and shut his door, the door. And they smote the men that were outside the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, asked to hear any late besides son-in-law and sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out to this place. For we will destroy this place because of the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you up out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked, he was mocked unto his sons-in-law. My sons-in-law better not mock me. Amen. I'm an old man, okay? But I'll tell you what, they better not mock me. I'm a meanie. You understand what I'm saying? It's time when we ought to be. We ought to be fathers. We ought to be men. Amen?
Amen.
Stand for something. Say, boy, you are a meanie. Amen. My wife still loves me. My children still love me. Amen. The church I'm in still loves me. The people in the veterans home love me. Amen. I got some friends that love me. Amen. Now I'm talking about a love. It's a love of God that's in us. That's more tender and more great than any human can understand at this time. Unless you have Christ as your Lord and Savior. In the morning, verse 15, the Lord said he will destroy the city in verse 14. But he seemed as one mocked to his sons-in-law. Even his sons-in-law didn't like him. Why? Because he had no Bible. He claimed to be something he wasn't. Now be careful. Make sure you're what you say you are. If you're a Christian, let's live a Christian life. Amen? Let's live it. Well, I can't. People I work with and stuff. Let me say something to you. This is, people today have been saying to me now for the last 10, 15 years, you can't win people to the Lord where you live. They won't let me quote scripture. They won't let me witness to them. The greatest witness you can be is how you live and what you do on that job and what you say. You say, well, I don't believe that. I'm a union plumber and fitter. Big guys, strong guys, drunks, druggies that I've seen on the job. But you know what? You go to Binghamton, New York to look at 112 plumbers and pipefitters. 75% of them or more are even Christians. Someone said, impossible. No. Not if you live it. And I said this morning, my son, David, who's a superintendent for J&K Plumbing and Heating. And I got the greatest reward one day when I run into one of the men that was working for my son, and he said to me this. He says, you know your son? He's running the job down on, working with him and down to me. He told me the job he was on. I said, yeah, he's working there. He said, you know, your son's just like you are. He said, when somebody's hurting on the job, somebody's going through a trial, he takes them in the office and sits down with them. His family's problems, and he talks to them and shares his love for God with them. Don't tell me it can't be done. It's the way you live. Amen? It's not what you say, it's the way you live. You're the testimony, you're the Bible that they're seeing. This is what happened to Lot. He had no testimony. He had no living. He did the same things the world did. Amen? And because he did that, he had no testimony. They didn't have a Bible. You're the Bible, the only Bible that some people will ever see. It's the way you live, the way you act is going to make the difference. You want revival? You have to live it. Don't say we're something we're not. We would have. I'm going to close this off pretty quick. I'll be like my son-in-law when he says, I'm closing off. Half an hour later, he's closing up. He says about 20 times, I pick up doing this good boy. Amen and prayer. We know the story. How his wife was turned to a pillar of salt because she looked back. There's some things we shouldn't look back at. We should go forward. The devil wants us to look back to get discouraged. Amen? But I don't know. When I got saved, all my sins were passed away. I became a new man in Jesus Christ. Amen? My wife wish I'd do it over and over again, of course. But we do. We still do it. Amen? She's not wrong when she's that way. We're not wrong when we confess to God we've made mistakes. Amen? Isn't He just and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness? We forget those things. We need to get back to the main basic of things in our life and do what we ought to do. We find grace in His sight. Here He goes. His wife is out there. They can walk to the mountain. Big old volcano is erupting. They hide to the mountains to get them over. They get up there. His wife is turned to a block of salt because she looked back. By the way, don't look back at the sins you've done in your life. Take them to the Lord and leave them there. Amen? Forget about them. They're gone. They're washed away. We've got to lay them down. Otherwise, you're going to be bitter all your life. You ought to confess your sins for Him. And when you're confessed, He is faithful and just to forgive us all our sins. The Bible says, amen? God's King James. Amen? Think about it. Now, we get here a little further. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. Because it's one of the saddest things in the world. He goes up the mountain. And he gets himself into a cave in the rocks with his two daughters. One of the greatest sins that ever could be committed. He'd been drinking some alcohol. Now, don't tell me alcohol's all right. Now, I'll explain to you why here in just a minute. By the way, people are always telling me, well, a little bit of alcohol's all right. No, it's not. Amen. He goes up there. He's in the cave. He took with him some of this stuff that they, I don't know exactly, probably some wine at that time. He was discouraged, his wife is gone. He's understanding that he's done wrong in his life, I believe. He goes to sleep because he gets so much alcohol. And his daughters didn't help any because they kept feeding him the alcohol. And then to come to real life, you know what, really? His daughters were upset because they thought everybody was dead except them. And the oldest daughter said, we'll get him good and drunk. Then we'll win. And then, like I said, I don't say this with children. But they went in to that cave with their father. And there they spent that night with him, and Cole's daughter did. And she became with child of her father. She came back out of the cave, and the father woke up. He was so drunk he didn't even know what happened. The next night, the oldest daughter said to the younger, "You go in with Dad tonight so we can raise up seed to him." So they went through it again. They got him a lot of wine. He again was drunk, discouraged. The younger daughter was with her husband. I wouldn't do this if there's children here tonight, young children. He became with her child again. Your father. Bible says that's wrong. Amen? You don't hear much of a lot after that. But if you trace the family through the Bible that came from that wicked situation, you'll find out we're fighting them now over in the Middle East. Bring it up today. Amen? They hate the Jews because Abraham was blessed. Their father wasn't blessed. You can study through the Bible if you want to look through it. We got to quit saying things are right when they're wrong. Amen? Wine is a mocker. Strong Greek is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. But this is even better than that. When somebody asked me, "Oh, it's all right," I said, "How do you explain this?" Amen? It's time for us to grow up in churches. Time for Christians to grow up and take the truth. I want America back like what she was. When I was a child in school, young school, where we saluted the flag, where we read the Bible. We can't keep taking things of God out and say we can't do it and expect America to come back to where she was. He said, "You shouldn't preach like this." Listen, I go into the veterans home and preach the same message that I preach here. For the veterans. You know what those veterans will do? Amen, they do. And they'll get up and they'll, "Yay!" That's how preachers should go in there. Other younger preachers. They don't even know how to talk to military men. I get a kick out of them. My family's been in the military for years. They came 1622 to Boston Harbor. My first family. And we believe that they were running from the King of England because of taking people and throwing them in the dungeons and killing them because they were Christians and they were Baptists. He spent almost 6 years traveling around in a ship before he would come into Boston. When he came into Boston, he got off the ship and they gave him a large amount of money. He bought the property just outside of Harborsville, Connecticut. And they've been all over the United States now. Over 8,000 families that are registered on our computer. We have a family website. Hinman Family website. You could get onto it yourself. I have to punch it in. A lot of them are born-again Christians. A lot of them are preachers. My wife's got a lot of preachers in her family. She has a brother that's a preacher. You know what? I get myself in trouble because I preach things like this. Why do we get in trouble when I preach something like this? Maybe there's something wrong. I believe the ones who don't like the truth, they've got something in their own background. And maybe they need to turn around and say, "Dear God, get to the altar, God's altar, amen? Not the altar of man, but God's altar, and get down on their knees and say, 'God, help my heart to be right so America could return.'" Amen? If we could. We want revival. The revival begins with us, wherever you are. It begins in my heart. You don't know how much I've prayed about the messages I've been giving here. This one here especially. And I said, "Boy, this is hard. What advice that would take me out of the church. Maybe the whole congregation will come and throw me out. Might be like the Apostle Paul, right? Thrown in jail someday for preaching like this. But you know what? Oh, that will be glory for me. Amen. That will be glory for me. I ask you a question. Are we a Bible to other people? Sodom didn't have any Bible. Where you work, you may be the only Bible people see. The way you talk, things you say, the way you do your work. It may be, not always, not. You're going to work with the world the rest of your life. And our children are too. They have to learn the Bible whether you're wrong and learn, teach them as scriptures. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Amen. "Christ came not in the world to condemn the world, but the world right through Him might be saved." Amen. On and on we could go with scripture. God loves you. Teach. Most churches, good churches, are trying to teach that. But they have to have the families that work with them. Amen? If you're doing one thing and your children are taught this, it doesn't work. I'm proud of my family. I'm proud of my boys and my girls. I'm proud of my son down in Florida that works in the church. Runs a bus. Cleans a building. Works a full-time job. I'm proud of my daughters and my sons. I'm proud of my son that works in the plumbing heating trade and works away from home an awful lot. But when he's home, he goes to church. And I don't, maybe when he's away from home, maybe he goes to church like I used to. I'd find a good church and I'd go there. Wherever I could find it, it was a good place. God loves you. God cares for you. God will put His arm around you and He'll give you a hug like you've never had it before. If we surrender all. I like that song, Ed. "I surrender all to Him I give." More like this. "I surrender this much to You, Lord. The rest of it I'm going to keep for myself." That's our problem. Amen. I ask you a question today. Tonight. I can say, "Boy, maybe I got the wrong guy for it." You're pastor. I've been preaching this way now for 52 years. And I'm a lot quieter now than I used to be when I was younger. Right, Pat? I didn't need any microphone, believe me. Amen. Preach to the top of my voice. Preach out underneath a tree. You know, it doesn't make any difference to me if there was somebody there. God loves you. Do you know how you feel God's love? Coming to the altar and saying, "Yes, God." Let Him put His arms around you and give you a big hug. The greatest reward I get in the world
just down to the veterans home. When some of the people down there give me a hug. I said, give you a hug? I said, yes. That is true. God loves you. Brother, this is what it's all about. This is what it's all about, my friends. God loves you. Amen.
Let's have a songbook 308. It's going to be our invitation.
Yes.
All to Jesus, I surrender. Let's stand together.